You know, you just missed a funny moment here in studio. Grandpa Tim was looking for his glasses. Where were your glasses, Tim? Top of your head.
Yes. I had a bulldog moment. Where are my glasses? Where? Who took them? Oh, there they are.
Top of that wee head.
A huge cranium.
You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, and we are streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Just had a pretty intense conversation with a couple of girls who have been able to climb out of the sex industry, basically.
I would just say hell. They've climbed out of hell.
Yeah.
Anything less than that sort of word description wouldn't suit it.
No. Yeah. If you missed that last segment, you want to go to our website at the end of the week, and we'll have that loaded for your listening pleasure. All right, our final guest on the show today, jam-packed show.
Jam-packed, for sure.
Dr. Harold G. Koenig. He is the Director, Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health, Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, Associate Professor of Medicine, Duke University Medical Center. And he also bowls. I don't know. Well, like, what else do you put in that? That's ridiculous. He's published extensively in the fields of mental health, geriatrics, Tim's subject, and religion, with over 400 scientific peer-reviewed publications, nearly 70 book chapters, and 40 books. His research on religion, health, and ethical issues in medicine has been featured on dozens of national and international TV programs, including ABC's World News, Tonight, Dr. Oz, several times on the Today Show, Good Morning America, NBC Nightly News, over 100 national and international radio programs, and hundreds of newspapers and magazines. Basically, what we're trying to say, he's a big deal and he's on our show. Dr. Koenig, how are you today, sir?
I'm great, Drew. How are you?
Quite well. I'm trying to make sure I'm pronouncing your last name right. It's Dr. Koenig?
That is correct.
Thank you. First of all, when you were on the Today Show, did you ever have a conversation with my very good friend, Kathy Lee Gifford?
No, I didn't, but I did see her. I did see her when I was waiting to go on.
That's a lovely little, it's a small, tiny room, though, isn't it? The waiting room for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
Yeah. Okay, a lot of questions for you. How did you get into this? What interests you so much about the correlation between religion and health?
Well, I think it was my patients. You know, when I was a family physician, I would ask patients what enables them to cope with their condition, and I'd been a nurse prior to being a physician, so, you know, nurses are more sensitive to that than doctors. So anyway, I would ask them, and I would frequently get the response that they were praying, or that, you know, their religious faith was important, or their pastor or their church was praying for that, or something or other. So that intrigued me because, you know, that hadn't been part of my training. Nobody ever told me that that was important to patients or that was relevant. So I decided to do research on it and find out for myself.
Okay, do you remember the first aha moment? Not to quote Oprah so soon in the conversation, but do you remember the first aha moment you had when it came to your research?
I think the first aha moment was when I found that you could actually show statistically that people who were more religious were happier, were more satisfied with life, had lower anxiety about dying, these kinds of things, that you could actually measure it and show statistically that it was significant. So that was surprising to me.
Okay, I was at a chaplaincy meeting. I'm one of the chaplains at the hospital in my hometown, and we were all sitting around the table, and we had a guest speaker, and they mentioned your name and said that there's statistics out there. There's evidence. There's scientific evidence that religion is helpful for people to heal. And yet I'm still really unclear as to, you know, what that evidence is. So if I was to, let's say I had a grumpy doctor on the ward, and I was visiting a patient, and the doctor came in and said, "What are you, the chaplain? Get out." And then I decided to talk to the doctor afterwards, and I wanted to say, "Excuse me, sir, doctor, right reverend, almighty doctor guy. You need to know that religion is a key component in the health of your patients. But I need to have some scientific chutzpah here to back this up. What do I say to this guy?"
Well, I would refer him to the Handbook of Religion and Health, which is about 1,200, 1,300 pages, and it documents the research prior to 2010 showing a connection between religion and health. So most doctors are impressed by the research. Now, you know, you could hand them also a recent article from JAMA Internal Medicine, which just came out about a week ago, showing that among white women in the United States, in a 90,000-person sample of white women, when they looked at mortality rates, they found over a 15-20-year period, they found that women who attended religious services at least weekly were one-third less likely to die during that follow-up period. And the statistics were pretty amazing what they did and what they reported in the paper. So I'd give him an article in one of his journals and then see what he says.
Okay. If it's true, we believe in it, or do we believe in it because it's true? And this kind of goes to, you know, in AA or whatever it is, you got a higher power, and some people's higher power is a Kleenex box. In your research, in your studies, in your world, in your anecdotal experience, do you see more benefit in believing a world-recognized monotheistic belief system? Or it doesn't matter what they believe as long as it's some higher power?
Well, that's a good question. You know, can you believe in basically, you know, anything, and does it have the same benefit?
Yeah.
Well, again, the research isn't very specific in that regard, but my sense is that if a person believes in a loving God and develops a relationship with this God through prayer and through meditation, that is going to be something good for them. Now, some people call God a higher power, some call God Allah, others call God Buddha. And, you know, if God is a loving, compassionate being that one can relate to and be loved by and loved, then I think that will result in better health.
So that, I guess, ipso facto, if someone has had a bad religious experience throughout most of their life, then really the religion is going to have a bad impact on their health as well.
Well, if they have a bad experience with religion and they're not involved in it, then that could very well influence their health. There's no question about that. In fact, some research shows that people who believe in a punishing God or a God that's nowhere to be found, or or they've been neglected by or ignored by their faith community, that they really don't do very well either mentally or physically, and they die sooner as well.
Wow. Can you tell us about your experience, I guess, addressing the U.S. Senate back in 1998, and U.S. House of Representatives, of course, in 2008? I mean, here you are in front of these power brokers, and, you know, you're delivering your research and your results. Were they favorable experiences, or were you pushed back?
They were generally favorable. You know, when you talk about religious faith and its relationship to health, really nobody in this country wants to hear that it's not good for your health, because most people here in the United States or in Canada, you know, tend to be religious, and they would like their faith to be, you know, supported by the research evidence. Huh. And that's certainly true in the, you know, in the States here. So I don't get so much negative feedback as I get just people just ignore me, basically. That's the main thing. They just ignore it and go about their business without thinking about it.
Yeah. That could be worse, just being ignored. I'd rather have someone like Christopher Hitchens say that this Dr. Harold G. Koenig is just, you know, he's full of rubbish. I'd rather have that.
In Europe, I do hear that. I do get some nasty feedback when I go to Europe, but that's all right.
Well, that's exactly where I was going, because it's been my experience that, especially in the UK, in France, that there's a fairly antagonistic feeling generally towards religion over there, more and more so. And so here you come along saying, well, no, but if you're religious, it might actually help you get better. And that can't go over well over there.
It doesn't go over as well as it does here in North America. Now, it really doesn't go over very well in, now this doesn't mean everybody, but in Northern Europe in particular, like the Swedes, yeah. Norway, Finland, they say basically we have great health and none of us are religious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, your findings are bunk.
Well, yeah, okay, then how do you explain that?
Well, what I do, my response is that, first of all, your entire social system, your entire social and economic and health system is based on religious values that were established by the church. Now, you've lost, you know, interest in specifically engaging in these practices, and not everyone in Norway or Sweden or Finland has lost faith. Now, it's kind of been transformed, you know, into a different form of, you know, more diverse spirituality. So it isn't that they're all agnostics or atheists, but one of the reasons for their good health is because of the social system that religion, basically the Lutheran Church, or, you know, the Church of Sweden, whatever it's called now, established.
You know, I would rather, don't take this the wrong way, Dr. Koenig, please, but I would much rather have an atheist doctor have done the research rather than you, because you're a God guy. So there's got to be some skewing here somewhere.
Well, you know, that's certainly true. And it's true for all kinds of research. Do you think there isn't any skewing by researchers whose entire careers are based on a certain finding and their next grant and livelihood is dependent on them getting that grant, and they're reporting certain specific findings, or drug companies that have billions of dollars invested in drugs that they're promoting? Everyone is biased, but the good scientist designs their research in a way that takes their own bias out of the equation. And that's the kind of research that I try to do and that I try to train my students to do.
What is your religious bent? Are you allowed to talk about it, or would you rather keep that secret?
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind a bit. I was raised Catholic, and now I'm an interdenominational Protestant. And, you know, I read the Quran almost every night, or the Hadith. And, you know, I have my best friends are Jewish, and, there's a whole group of Hindus and Buddhists, too, that I'm trying to, you know, befriend. So I'm kind of pretty eclectic, but I am Christian and pretty, you know, in the conservative brand of Christianity, if you would say.
So you read the Quran every night, and there's a bit of research there. I know that one of your books, Health and Well-Being in Islamic Societies, again, what have you discovered?
Well, you know, I spent about 5-6 years ago, I used to think, you know, everything I knew about Muslims was what I read on CNN. And, you know, it was pretty negative. And I thought, you know, these people, I don't know about them. They're all, like, basically terrorists. And that was the general, that's the general impression you get. And then, about 5 or 6 years ago, I started going to Saudi Arabia for a couple of weeks a year as part of being a professor at one of the universities there. And I got to know, Muslims in Saudi Arabia, very devout Muslims, and I was struck by how common and how devout, how common, how many things we had in common, you know, how many beliefs were similar, and they would come to me and ask me about their problems with their kids and their spouse, and I would talk about my problems, you know, with them, and they're just normal. 99.99% are just normal, good people trying to live a happy life, who have very devout faith, who worship God and try to submit their lives to God. So that's really been my personal impression. And the research really does show that the relationships with health are very similar to those that we find in largely Christian populations, if not stronger.
Sure, sure. Okay, again, on the phone with Dr. Harold G. Koenig. He's, do I have to go through your whole bio again? That is the most overwhelming job description I've ever heard in my life. Director of the Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health, Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, Associate Professor of Medicine at Duke University Medical Center. That's a lot of school, man. That's a lot of school. Anyway, tell me about your latest book.
Well, the latest book is You Are My Beloved, comma, Really. And this book I wrote because we're in the process of developing a spiritually oriented psychotherapy to address moral injury in veterans and active duty military with PTSD. So we know that, you know, when you're out on the battlefield, or even if you're directing a drone that's firing, you know, a missile that kills a bunch of people, that there are consequences to doing that, even though you're simply doing your job. There is some sense of betrayal of moral values. Thou shalt not kill, and other things that people experience out on the battlefield. And what that does is it creates shame, guilt. It makes a person wonder whether God exists. Why would God allow this? It affects their self-esteem. They can't relate to other people about, you know, they get divorce as common as is substance abuse and depression, so many issues. So this spiritually oriented intervention is designed to address these moral issues. So as part of this intervention, this book has 24 short chapters, you know, two or three pages each, that address basically everything in theology that you could ever imagine.
Man.
From the existence of God to why there is evil in the world, and, you know, does God love me? What kind of God do we worship? And what do the scriptures in the primary scriptures in the major world religions, what do they say about God's love for people? And so, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. You are my beloved. That's what the scriptures say. God loves us. And how do you maintain the experience of that love over time? So that's what that book is all about.
Really well said. Well, I'm intrigued to get a hold of that one. Again, Dr. Harold G. Koenig, I appreciate your time very, very much. Here's a website for you, spiritualityandhealth.duke.edu, spiritualityandhealth.duke.edu. Dr. Koenig, I hope you have a great weekend, sir.
Thank you, Drew. Thanks for having me on your show.
It was a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, Tori, would you mind telling us a little something?
Yeah, of course. So maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but you don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for small business owners. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show. And we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview. Oh, and one more thing. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website at drewmarshall.ca and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Sorry, yeah. Woo! She just threw the sheet away.
Woo!
Mic drop. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll have another show next week, and I'm excited to find out what gender my grandchild will be tonight.
I'm voting blue.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tori, what's you? Gotta go pink, okay. Hey, all of you, may you all find the God who sees you. Bye-bye.
We're all backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun.